Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Whether you stayed up all night with election coverage or just hearing the news this morning, SDPB has you covered for the 2018 election. Today on In the Moment, we walk you through the highs and lows of the night and look ahead to South Dakota's political future. SDPB's Lee Strubinger and Jackie Hendry join us now inside the Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls for a recap. Jackie, hey, welcome.
Hey, Lori.
Lee Strubinger, thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori. No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jackie, let's start with you. How did the night progress at Democratic headquarters?
Well, considering the governor's race stayed fairly tight throughout the bulk of the evening, the mood was pretty high most of the time. Granted, the first statewide Democratic defeat came fairly early in the evening, with Republican U.S. House candidate Dusty Johnson pulling pretty easily ahead of Democratic opponent Tim Bjorkman. But in his concession speech, Bjorkman called for collaboration across the aisle, but he also reminded audiences that the night's election was also about shaping South Dakota values based on who voters decide to send to peer.
We are going to change the face of this state with those people that we send to office, beginning with Billy Sutton as our next governor. Because the water won't clear up until you get the hogs out of the creek.
So clearly, still Democrats still with their eyes on the highest office in the state earlier in the evening, but that wasn't to be the case.
Lee, you were at the GOP watch party, which saw early wins and often, as Jackie mentioned, former chief of staff to Governor Dennis Dugard, Dusty Johnson, won by almost 82,000 votes over Bjorkman.
Yeah, Johnson took a 60%. He took 60% of the vote last night, and his main message during his victory speech and interviews with the press afterward, he made it clear that his top priority is getting on the House Ag Committee and negotiating the next farm bill. He says that bill, you know, generally requires bipartisan agreement traditionally, and he says that matches real well with his skill set. You know, throughout the campaign, Johnson has positioned himself as a moderate, and he's looking at both versions of the farm bill and getting the right product passed.
There are parts of the House bill that are great, and there are parts of the Senate bill that are great. So you really want to, I mean, conference committee needs to combine those into a bill that works for South Dakota. For instance, Senator Thune has put into the Senate version a shorter-term CRP that gives producers more flexibility. We need that in the final version. There'll be examples of that where we will need to pick and choose from the two bills, and I'm looking forward to rolling up my sleeves and doing that work.
So Johnson is heading into a U.S. House of Representatives that flipped last night in favor of the Democrats. How did that change his plans heading to Washington, Lee?
Well, I think Johnson was probably anticipating that flip. Most polls had indicated that that could happen. But as for his approach, he's making it clear he'll work across the aisle in whatever way to help South Dakota. He says that South Dakota hired him to do the job, and they want him to do that hard work and the research and vote with South Dakota values. And, you know, he said he got elected regardless of whoever the Speaker of the House is going to be, that he's going to work with Democrats in the House of Representatives. He's not excited that the Democrats took the House, but he says that he's really willing to work with them to make the country and South Dakota better.
So where will Johnson station himself, as it were, in the next month and a half? Will he take his family to Washington or stay in South Dakota?
You know, Johnson says he and his family will stay in South Dakota. He says U.S. House members travel a lot, so setting up shop in D.C., wouldn't really work for him and his family, and especially being the lone representative of such a big state, you know, he's going to have to do a lot of traveling when he comes back to South Dakota. He says his family has a much better support system in South Dakota.
Members of Congress lose touch and lose effectiveness when they kind of go D.C. Yeah, I think you've got to go to D.C., and I think you need to build relationships there. That's what makes you effective, but I think it's even more important to make sure you maintain those South Dakota relationships. So we're going to continue to live in Mitchell. I'm going to continue to have, you know, my youngest son at Gertie Bell Rogers Elementary. We're going to have the oldest at middle school there in Mitchell. We're going to go to County Fair food stores after church on Sunday for brunch. That's going to let my neighbors, South Dakotans, grab me and tell me when I'm making a mistake. I think that's going to make me a better congressman.
Jackie, you had mentioned that despite the U.S. House loss for the Democrats, the mood remained optimistic. At what point did that really start to shift?
Well, really, as the night wore on, things kind of settled down. But the real shift came right around midnight Central Time when Democratic Attorney General candidate Randy Seiler gave his concession speech. But while acknowledging that the night didn't necessarily go how he had hoped, Seiler points to the strong campaigns that he believes he and his fellow Democrats led throughout South Dakota.
You know, within our party, within the Democratic Party, there's a buzz and an energy that has been dormant for too long. And with that comes the acknowledgement that one-party dominance is not good for South Dakota.
Lee, you spoke with Attorney General-elect Jason Roundsburg, Seiler's opponent. How is he going to treat the next month and a half before session?
Roundsburg says that he's going to be meeting with state's attorneys and the Attorney General's office today to kind of kickstart that transition. And then he's going to start turning to his priorities that he's going to lay, that he's kind of laid out on the campaign and that he's going to bring to office. And you know, as he said plenty on the campaign trail, he wants to end presumptive probation and to tackle the meth problem in the state.
I think we need to give our judges back their discretion and our state's attorneys back their discretion. And I think you have to have a deterrent factor. And then also, as I've talked about, a work component, more trustee units like in Yankton and Rapid City. And then, yes, rehabilitation. And I don't think we were given all the things that we were promised originally in SB 70. And I think we can improve in that area of rehabilitation to get people off of drugs and so they can be more productive members of society and being taxpayers like all of us.
And the race that kept us all up late into the night was that gubernatorial race between Kristi Noem and Billy Sutton. Now we know the outcome. How did gubernatorial candidate Billy Sutton close the door on his bid once the race was called for Kristi Noem?
Well, Lori, he encouraged his supporters to keep up that fight, stay civically engaged despite a result that maybe they weren't hoping for. And much like Tim Bjorkman, Sutton also hinged his concession speech on ideas about working together across political barriers.
I spent much of the last year on the campaign trail talking about the need for coming together and working to find common ground. None of that changes because we didn't win. We should still seek to find common ground, to look for ways to work together to find solutions to the challenges our state faces.
Sutton also expressed in his remarks pride in the campaign that he and his team managed because it was really a pretty historically tight race. Ultimately, the governorship goes to Noem with 51% of the votes.
And how is now Governor-elect Noem handling the victory?
Well, obviously the Noem campaign is thrilled, and but I think it's safe to say Republicans were confident they would keep the governor's seat, but Sutton, you know, did keep it a little too close for comfort at times. She defeated Sutton by about 11,000 votes. And last night, Noem described the conversation that she and Sutton had when he conceded the race, which echoes Sutton's call for seeking common ground.
And we talked about the race, how hard each of us worked, and how grateful we were for our families. So, you know, I told him that I would love to work with him in the future. And I think that we have a real opportunity to bring everybody together in South Dakota and be an example to the nation of doing that.
Now, Noem's win comes 100 years and 2 days after South Dakota's women's suffrage began. She's the first female governor in South Dakota history. How is she reacting or responding to that?
Well, she was asked that question a lot, and it was obviously on her mind during the campaign and on election night, but it was never treated as a big campaign issue for her. You know, Noem says being the first female governor of South Dakota is special, but she says she's focused on what she can do for the state.
My background working in the state legislature and at the federal level was very bipartisan and bringing people to get together to get big bills done. So I'm hopeful that even though people didn't support me in this race, that I'll be able to sit down and have conversations with them and win their support, delivering real results for South Dakota.
I think it's interesting to note the shift Governor-elect Noem is taking post-election. You know, 48% of the state's electorate voted for her opponent. So in light of that close race,
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A message of unity. Three proposed right constitutions. Right. And what's the takeaway from that close race for Billy Sutton?
Well, in his concession speech, Sutton expressed almost a sort of awe for the passion that he saw in his supporters across the state throughout this campaign, and he characterized it as a movement that he believes has staying power that can continue, almost hearkening back to Randy Siler's talk about a buzz in the Democratic Party. And Sutton grew a bit emotional while recounting a particular story of support that really stood out to him.
On Halloween just last week, I got several messages about a Facebook post that was quickly going viral here in South Dakota. A 7-year-old boy named Bennett from Wagner, who has spina bifida. He gets around in a wheelchair just like me. For Halloween, he went as Billy Sutton, cowboy hat and all. His dream is to be a cowboy, and maybe someday he can even be governor. And I think that he has the grit and perseverance to do just that.
Jackie, any indication of what Billy Sutton might do next?
As far as long-term plans go, it's a bit too soon to tell. I got to chat with him shortly after his concession speech last night, and he tells me that after a year and a half of hardcore campaigning, it's time to take a step back.
I mean, family's always been a focus for me, but you have to give up a lot on a campaign. You know, I have a 2.5-year-old son, and I've spent a lot of nights away from home on the campaign, and so just want to focus on family right now and take a step back. And you know, reevaluate what things look like in the future. I still work in my day job, and so I'll go back to doing that. And my wife still works as well, and so we'll go back to getting things done there, and we'll see what the future holds.
And in both Billy Sutton's concession speech and in our chat afterwards, he says he's really passionate about serving South Dakota in whatever capacity he can. And he says that's just a fire that doesn't go out in him, so it's pretty unlikely that this is the last we hear of Billy Sutton.
All right, we know South Dakota is a predominantly red state. What made this year different in the eyes of Democratic Party leadership, Jackie?
I think the short answer to that is volume. So we had 100 legislative candidates who ran as Democrats this year, which is a record for South Dakota, according to South Dakota Democratic Party Chairman Ann Tornberg. And out of those 100, 41 of those candidates are women, 30 of those candidates were under the age of 40, and 74 of those 100 Democratic candidates were first-time candidates this year.
And Lee, what are Republicans attributing to their success?
Well, obviously, party leadership points to their deep bench of candidates who run for office. I mean, we saw that last night. We saw that in the primary. A lot of heavyweights there in the primary. Republicans in the legislature, you know, they'll also maintain their supermajority in both chambers of the state house. Currently, 7 races are kind of up for potential recount right now, so we're still waiting for the final results there. But even if those tend to go the Democrats' way, Republicans are going to hold that supermajority.
SDPB's Jackie Hendry and Lee Strubinger, you have never wavered through your exhaustion, so thank you so much for everything you did for the listeners and for the voters of South Dakota. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Lori.
It was a pleasure.